Record.
This meeting is being recorded.
Review it. All right, tonight, I'm trying to cover a few points in this particular parasha, both in the case and regarding Hanukkah, that seem to be a little difficult. Simple explanations, actually. You know that the parasha begins, Vayimi Kates, Shinosayim Yomim, the end of 2 years, Parich Cholim, Parich Vim, Vihine Oymed Alayor. He was standing on the Alayor, meaning, really means Eitz Alayor, near the water, and so forth. A few questions here. What does it mean, Shinosayim Yomim? Shinosayim means 2 years. Shinosayim. You have later in the portion, by the Ro'ov, by the hunger, is there Shinosayim, the Ro'ov. Don't say Yomim. What means Shinosayim and Yomim? Shinosayim means 2 years. Shana, Shinosayim. So what are the extra Yomim? What are the extra word Yomim teaching us after the years? Look at the word yogurt. Secondly, by Hemikates, as I said the last time, he also has a Megillah, and at the word by He, denotes both on the one hand, tsar, pain, suffering, and on the other hand, it denotes an union of happiness and joy of Simcha. In that sense.
Nothing. Keep going.
What do we find this particular point over here? In the word by Yehi, the Chai Kodesh wants to say that over here there actually were two things that actually took place at the same time. So first of all, you have the point that Yosef became free. That's a freedom. So the meaning of Vayehi is a lotion of Lashon Simcha. And he also states that the Golos Mitzrayim actually, we could say, had its early beginnings from this particular point. So Yosef ascended to the second highest level and so forth, and from there on the whole thing with the good years and the bad years, and they came to buy food and so forth, and that itself brought about eventually the whole going out to Egypt on the part of Yaakov and his children, in that sense. But that was the goals. So the goals is right, because originally, as he brings down, it says there'll be a woman there, it's like him, not in their land. Didn't say Mitzrayim. And why is Mitzrayim punished after the writer brings? Because they added on. Not only did they work with them, they eat away some. So Mitzrayim was held accountable in the sense that they didn't have to go above and beyond what the Gzeira was, the actual decree itself. Also, I was thinking along the lines that the Vayehi over here, in the sense over here, as you say, by tsar, pain and anguish, Vayehi Mikates, Shinosayim Yomim. So actually you find that by Yosef and the beginnings of the Golos of Mitzrayim. Shinosayim Yomim, the son of the Rambam, says a very interesting thing I found. He said the word Shona denotes the concept of a lunar calendar year, which is 355 days. Yomim denotes a solar calendar year, 23rd. So the concept of here is genocide, white ruler. But Shona comes to the word Shinui. The Levona changes every month. It's Kiddush, Kiddush Levona, a new moon, so forth. Yomim, he says, is solar. It goes on the sun, and the sun shines during the daytime. That's the Rambam's son, the Rambam, says that particular interesting point. So he stresses that when it says Shinsayim, Yomim means that it was Shinsayim, but Yomim, it was a fulfilled Shinsayim, that not only the lunar 2 year, but a solar 2 year. In a sense, it came out extra days that the solar calendar is 11 days more, approximately, than the lunar calendar. He said that's the reasoning of Shinsayim Yomim. Actually, there's a Rashbam. I told you, Rashbam always very simple in that sense. Rashbam wants to learn simply that it means, when it says Shinsayim Yomim, it means Shleimos. Not like the son of the Rambam, it means that the 2 years were complete 2 years. Not there was a day missing, but 2 days, it was exact 2 years. That's why it says Shinsayim Yomim, full days of 2 years. And that's how the Rashbam learns. And according to Rashbam, it could be a lunar 2 years. It comes out less. But the interesting, according to the Rav Ron, and the Rambam, comes out a little differently at that particular point. There's another aspect I want to add maybe to this particular pasuk, which seems to me that by indication of Sayyid Yomim, why he is a Russian Tsar, because at this particular time, Yitzchak passed away. The Medrash. You figure it out, Taki, it comes out. Because with Yosef, was going to be 30 years old when he came to Paro. He was born when Yaakov was over 90. At this time, Yaakov was 120. Because when he came to the tribe by Paro, he was 130. But he came 10 years after, in the 10th year after Yosef became the Tsar and so forth, the second in command. So therefore, at that particular time, Yitzchak was Nifter. So Vayehi is the Russian Tsar, the Torah's Meram is a Tsar of the Tiras Yitzchak, and also the Simcha of the freedom of Yosef. And I wanted to add on in this point over here, make a little bit maybe, the word Nikates. Interesting word, we say Nikates means from the end of. Commentaries speak on that. In Rashi, we hear Kates Kobosa Bolafanai. It means an end to a certain degree, it's a cutoff. And I said the word Kates, it's interesting. The word Kates is 190. The goal was what the Boishon said to Avraham Avinu was with the birth of Yitzchak. Yeah? The birth of Yitzchak. And, however, the actual golus that they had in the tribe was only 210. Not 400, only 400. For the birth of Yitzchak to left the kids in Zion. So you have to subtract 190, but 400 makes 210. So Vayihimi Kates should have signed Yomim. When Yosef became the viceroy and so forth, and ultimately the golus began, this was the beginning already, and 190 was taken away with the passing of Yitzchak and so forth, and there were now 210 years that the Jewish people would be in the tribe, would be subjugated in the tribe. So the Kates should not sign Yomim. That the Kates is a remiss on the golus over here, that, like we say later in the Vayechi, Bikesh Yaakov Legalois Esakates. Take together, there's 190. Wanted to tell them in it, and he didn't tell them when they're going to go out of the tribe and so forth. So again, we can say that could be alluding to the amount, the period of time that they were actually in golus in that sense. But regardless, I spoke last week to get to taking a point over here, and he ended up speaking about the Tochon faith. I mentioned the Beis HaLevi in great detail, and his whole concept of the Tochon and so forth. And there's one more piece to the Beis HaLevi that I left for tonight, which really brings out his whole, the whole concept, the whole point over here, and interesting, based on the Medrash. Based on the Medrash. The Medrash says over here that Vayhi Kates Shenasayim Yomim, he said the word Kates means end, cut off. And the Pasuk, what the Pasuk says in Eod, Kates Sum Lachoshech. Kates Sum Lachoshech. An end he put to darkness, which means to darkness, suffering, and so forth. Which means what? Zman Nosan Liyosef. First, he gave a certain time for Yosef, that should be in prison. Kama Shonim, he should be. He asked about Pharaoh to be in the darkness of the base of Asurim in a prison. Kivan Shehikia Hakes. When it came the time, Cholam Parai Chaloim, Parai dreamed the dream. What did the Rebbe say when he says? The Rebbe said, what did the Rebbe say? At a time when the case, Kolachoshech, and then Parai dream. What's connected over there? What's connected one to the other? He says, person makes a mistake many times, he hasn't got the right to talk on the Huna or Vaishnava. A person would think, for example, he says, I'll paraphrase a little bit, I could go through, I found the commentary of this particular Medrash here, a commentary in the back, that brings down that Beis HaLevi that I'm talking about, the part that I want to mention now. I could go through it inside, but maybe it's better to explain it outside now. The person would say that he has an opportunity, he buys a lot of goods, and he sells the goods, makes a lot of money. So he says, everything in life is a siba and a misoveg. There's a cause and a thing that evolves to bring about the cause. So the average person would think, how did I make a lot of money? Why? Because the cause. What was the cause? What is the Sibo? Sibo means the cause. Cause because I bought the goods. I got the goods at a price, and I made a big sale. I made a lot of money on it. And also, that was the Sibo that brought about the Misove, in the sense of the money. He says, that's a choice. A person has to know, he says, that it's not the pshat that the schayra was the cause for me making money. He said, the pshat is you have to know that the sibah is that the Rebbe Shalom at this time says you have to make money. Whether it's a Rosh Hashanah or whatever it is, you have to make a certain amount of money with this day and everything required. And because you have to make amount of money, it manifests itself in a particular situation of buying goods. But not that the goods brings you the profit and so forth. He says, Kate Son Lachoshech. Many people think, how did Yosef become free? How did he become free? Because Pharaoh had a dream. If Pharaoh wouldn't have had a dream, he wouldn't become free. It's a toys, he says. He says, Yosef became free because Kate Son Lachoshech. Because it came the time, the moment that he's supposed to be free. How he should be free? Pharaoh Choyle. The Pharaoh dreamed because Yosef is supposed to be free. Not because he dreamed that she became free. Very, very deep thought to understand over here in this particular point what he's saying over here. And he said, those are the Medrash. That's what the Medrash is telling us over here. That Kate Sumla, when it came the time she gave her case, then it came the time where she said, it's enough. He has to go out. Huh? Okay. Power of dream. So we can't describe the covered and so forth to Power because he dreamed. Yosef became Pharaoh. It goes in your mind. And really, that mind, and everything that a person does, which we would say, Beis HaLevi, person has to know that it's Hakoli de Shumai. Like it more says, neither ain't other like if it's boy, no matter, and it came across and all of the mala. You don't even hit your finger over here, unless it was called out in heaven, you should hit your finger and so forth. I'm giving an example. So the point over here is that if a person goes along with that, he says the moon of the Torah, that the voice of body prepared for him. What he should make for the year, etc., etc., then it's a different approach. It's not the approach that if I buy goods, so maybe I buy more goods. Or if I do it on Shabbos, whatever it may be, I'll make more, because this is bringing me, the goods are bringing me the money. That's not the goods. It's not the real goods. It's goods that are bringing you the money. The money is there because you're supposed to make a certain amount of money. And you're making it because of through the way to put the manifesting itself in the word, in the action of goods. But not that the seer is the one that's responsible to bring you the seer that's giving you the success in that sense. The person goes with that error, then he knows he has time for Shabbos, he has time for mitzvahs, he has time for learning, he has time, he knows he has to portion his life. He said, what I have to do, I make a living, so I do a normal way. I'm not to go out, I'm not crazy, it's in the audience. It's not my power. It's Yoni that's performing this and that's producing this, that therefore I put more koyach and more this and more that I'll do it. No. If it's not in the cards, so to speak, that the person had set aside that amount you should make, then how much koyach could you put in with work? Not what you do. It's the opposite. Like to be punished, to lose out in that sense. That's what the Beis Hamikdash says over here. That she is so in the mood of the talking that a person should know what is really the cause of life, what is the side in life, so what is it coming from, where are we coming from, where are we going, in that particular sense. That point was what I wanted to end with the Beis Hamikdash, bring it out over here with this particular message that he uses, the particular message to show that I don't think that that Paro's dream was responsible for that. He said, Pari only dreamed because it was Min HaShemayim that he was supposed to become free at this time, this moment. It's interesting, I saw, and to digress for a moment, interesting, I saw from the, once from the Magid, he said, it's an interesting thing, he says. He said, if the Sarah Mashkin knew that Jason interpreted the dream and so forth, Samadhi, etc., etc. He said, how come he didn't go? Didn't the Sarah Mashkin could have gone to Yosef and tell him the dream? I dreamed about the cows, you know, with this, with the fat cows, skinny cows, etc. Get the answer and bring it to Paro. We'll get the credit. Why do you have to tell Paro? I told you to be masking and all that. The Maggid says an interesting point, which I don't want to go into the whole thing now. More brokers than a nice parak all about dreams. But it's not discussion for now. Maybe one time we'll discuss it in detail, the concept of dreams in Jewish faith, the Jewish religion. Because one place the Gemara says in the ninth parak that dreams are a 60th of prophecy. More that's the dry in the bay that you want. And hey, where the Gemara said over there, it's a 60th of prophecy. Now, if you dream, there's a whole discussion of that. But so he said, the Maggid says, he says, no, he says. He says, if he would come with that dream, there's a different interpretation. He's not a king. A king's dream is a different type of dream than another person's dream. Every individual, his dream is fit for that particular person, he says. Especially that's what Yosef was smarter than the cartoon and understood that. Because they kept interpreting, as I told you last time, in their teva, in a natural way. They have seven daughters and they'll die. Or say he'll capture seven kingdoms. It's a different, you know, it's within natural. You actually saw it different over here. You saw the dream says that the skinny cows devour the others and they remain the way they were. That's not natural. It's not teva, not ancient. Therefore, the dream is a different type of dream. It's a not a teva dream. It's chutz l'derech teva. A certain famine that's going to eat away at the good years, and you won't even know it. It's a different derech over there. And when it's calling to a king, could affect the nation, could affect people. A king has a control. So therefore, he says, if he would regard there as an individual, a great person, a different interpretation altogether. And even by Sarashki, he says, understood that also. That just like Saram Eifel and Sarashki were different, each person, his dream is different to the individual. That's what he brings out, that particular point as well. Now, a few points that we have as far as the question or concern. It might be a little bit halachic over here, it might be a little difficult, but I say finish, I think maybe explain it. When Yosef finally took the position and so forth, and he gave advice to Paro, commentators ask that he asked you for advice. He asked you to interpret a dream. How do you come to give advice? So what I was telling you here with the Magid, okay, understandable. They should brought out the point that the whole thing over here is chutz l'derech hateva. It's not a natural situation. Therefore, God wants something here. The Almighty is, as Jesus says, and is in a hurry to do it. Reiterated it twice, the dream. Therefore, he says, you have the obligation, responsibility, and so forth, as a king, to see what should be done. That's part of the dream. Why were you told that? That you should see that to help the people, that they should be able to endure and to go through a particular famine. That answers, in a sense, why Yosef gave advice. Why Yosef, well, he wasn't asked to give advice. What right did he have to do that? Commentaries ask that question. Well, what we're saying over here, the whole concept takes on a whole different view as far as the Melech is concerned. What did Paro do? Paro was smart. Paro was a shachem. He met a shidduch. What did he do? He gave Potiphar's daughter. Why did he do that? Paro knew what he told him is that Eved, Ivri, etc., etc. And he put him up on the second highest level, viceroy. People say, that Eved, they'll make fun of him and so forth. But if he makes the shidduch with the daughter of Potiphar and so forth, then people will not say anything. What could they say? They're not going to say what happened with the wife. Nobody want to talk about it because you see that they're very good, what you call together and so forth, companions and so forth, and there's no enmity between them in that particular sense. So if I want to adopt in that particular shidduch, he brought down, but the question is asked, how did Yosef take? Say the almost of Makayim, the Torah, actually did not, before it was given. Was the daughter of Mitzvah on a tape? If it would have been by the Torah, the Makayim, he couldn't do it, so forth. Talking to Edison says, brings down the Medrash and Pit of Abelezer and so forth, that it really wasn't the daughter of Potiphar, it was the adopted daughter of Potiphar, and it was Osnas, the daughter of Dina. Dina was taken by Shem, and she became pregnant from him, and she had the daughter Osnas. So brought down the Medrash of that, the people of Abelezer, Tommy Anderson brings it, so forth. There's a whole detail on that, but I'm not going to go into it inside. Now, so, therefore, and the Medrash brings further there, the whole story that Yaakov didn't want her to be together with the whole family. He set her up separately. He gave her a kameah, and that kameah put in over here that she was Mishpachas Yaakov, so everybody should know that, who she is, and so forth, and she wore that around her neck. And then when Yosef went out of Mitzrayim and so forth, all the everybody wanted a shidduch with Yosef at that particular time. They kept throwing things at him. And she didn't have what to do, so she took that off and threw it to Yosef. Yosef got it. The Medrash got it, opened it up, and he saw that. He saw who she was. Right away, he made a shidduch. And she was brought up in Potiphar's family. She was brought up by the wife of Potiphar, had adopted her and so forth, and brought her up. This is the story I was told over here, in as far as in the Medrash. But the question remains, if the Mekayim Kalatayu Kula, the Mekayim before was given, so if she was the daughter of Dina and Shem, it's a Mamzaris, according to one Shitta. That the pshat is that the guy with the, which she didn't have a dinner of Yisrael in a sense, so there could be a question of Mamzaris over here. In fact, Tosus, in Tosus in Tarnis, where Tosus brings down, that the, when he said, Rabbi Eliezer, when he went to Shidduch, to Rivka, there's also a question over there. He said, the first one that comes out, you offer me a drink of water, etc., etc. So the Gemara Shukash over there, first one, what if she limps? What if she's a cripple and so forth? That's why he didn't think straight, the Gemara says. It's not right. So Tosfos says, how come that he didn't, the word doesn't say that maybe she was a Mamzeres? Maybe the woman was a Mamzeres and Yitzchak couldn't take her. They were illegitimate, so forth, he couldn't take her. Why did he want to say that? According to Ramban, it wouldn't be a question, naturally. Not twice according to Ramban, because he holds that outside of Shishra, they weren't Makayah, these din of Aloyus. But according to Tosfos and the other, Tosfos says Rakash. So Tosfos answers that wasn't the question. Why? Because it was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah. But according to Tosfos, he was before Matan Torah. But the others were Makayim in the Torah. The others were Makayim, what would have been also later, for example, take two sisters, for example. Or the relative that you're not permitted to take, if it would have been a Torah, you're not allowed to do it, and so forth. So how come Tosfos just said that it was before Torah, that's it? And Tosfos doesn't answer it, doesn't bother with it anymore, to ask the question, how come according to that Mandi Omar that says that the din of Mamza and so forth, how could it be? How could you take it? So the reason I'm bringing you this over here, this particular point, I typed it out, I have my own point over here, because I wanted to say a chidush over here, an innovative thought, which I don't know if some like it, if it's acceptable in true understanding of the din of the Ovos from Akayim, the mitzvahs before Matan Torah. I want to say this particular chidush. Now, when it comes to the arroyos, meaning the immorality, I said that they were only performed on the kayim, the mitzvahs of immorality, where there was a what we call a mitzius, the goof, a factual immorality. What does that mean? For example, Yaakov took two sisters. Well, how do you take two sisters? If the Torah was given down, two sisters are permitted. So, which means the sisters are now sisters also. It's just that the Torah was there automatically, they're not permitted. But when you come to a din of a mamza, that's not the fact. A mamza can only come about due to an incestuous relationship. Meaning, if a person commits adultery with a married woman and so forth, the child's a mamza, or mamzeres, and so forth, a girl. So therefore, at this particular time, when Shem lived with her, she's not a mamza, not a mamzeres. There was no dinner of an illicit relationship over here. The Torah wasn't given, so it wasn't there. So if the Torah would be given now, she would not be considered a mamzeres. It's not an automatic thing. It has to come through an act that's permitted, and not permitted, prohibited after the Torah is given. So after the Torah is given, you have an act, an illicit relationship and so forth, incestuous, she becomes a mamzer. But over here, the fact is that she doesn't become automatically. She is a sister, two sisters. Once the Torah is given, it's automatic. Sister, get out. But nothing has to be done. There's no mice over there. It's the goof. It's the goof for them. It's the body, the makeup of the person. So I said, which aloyas were they in Kayin? Those aloyas that were the makeup of the person, which means a sister, a mother, an aunt, etc., etc. Over there, they always were Mekayin, these particular immoralities that they shouldn't do. But in a case where the morality has to come about by an act that has to be committed after the Torah is given in order to become such a type of a immorality that they didn't have to do before, that didn't have the name Amza before. So therefore, I said it would be committed. And I said, that's why Tosfos doesn't ask the question of that they were Mekayin the Mitzvah, why weren't they Mekayin that also? Because over here, it could be that because what I'm saying, that wouldn't have been the question over here by Dinah Mamza, is different than that particular local. This particular point I want to bring out, I have to understand what I'm saying over here, is the point that I want to bring out, that there was a little bit of difference in the type of illicit relationships, whether they were automatic in the of body, in a sense, a sister, an aunt, or does it have to be an illicit relationship that comes about through a incestuous act that's committed, which can only be after the Torah is given, that incestuous type of an act, and not before, and so forth. So since the act could not have been committed there, even though the Torah was given now, she would not have been considered a Sinai Mamzeres. That's the point that I want to bring out in that particular situation. Now, then we're told another point after my... There was another problem here the Medrash brings, that the Mitzvah complained against Yosef. Complained against Yosef. When they came for food, Yosef said, no food unless you're circumcised. It was circumcised. So they came running to Paro, the whole big Medrash over here. Came running to Paro and said, the sugar. We want to have food over here. He's telling us stories over here. Go circumcise yourself over here. Said, well, what's going on over here? The whole Medrash over here. So they came trying to Paro. Paro said to them, Lechu and Yosef, Ashriyem Melechem Tazo. Paro had great subservience to Yosef. The Medrash said that also. Why? Paro had a problem. He didn't know, and then there was a law at that time that the leader had to know the 70 languages. Paro did not know. Not know the 70 languages. And the Medrash brings that Yosef knew the Shivru Loshen, that the Malach Ben HaShemayim taught him a Midihidu before Midichuni came out, but that was part of to get the position, so to speak. And he knew the languages, and he taught Paro. When it came to Lashon Kodesh, the Shum Moish and Paro couldn't understand, couldn't learn it, couldn't get it. And he made Yosef swear, the Moish and the Medrash didn't go down very key, you know, a few places. But Yosef swear that he wouldn't tell anybody that Paro doesn't know Lashon Kodesh. That he doesn't know the Ivrit, so far, in that particular sense. And he swore. That's when Yosef said at that time he wanted to go very Yaakov Avinu. So there's a Medrash over there. Paro told him, he said, I swore that I'm going to go to my father at the burying. So Paro said, so why don't you annul Yeshua? Annul it. So Yosef said, if there's such a thing, if you say the annulling the Shua, I can annul the other Shua. You'll be out of a job. So Paro said, go. maybe from there, that the Pirate tried to get him out of it in that particular sense. But so we see that Jace over here was, the question is asked, why did he do that? We're asking him, Torsion, why did he, why did she be circumcised? What did he do? So a little bit I had alluded to, if you recall, in Parshas Vayishlach, I spoke about Shem, if you recall. But I want to complete my thought on this that I have written down, this particular point. That Yosef knew, as I just told you, there was only one official mitzvah that they had that they were mechuyev to do. That was Mila. No other mitzvah. All the other mitzvahs were in the mitzvah of Yosef. All right, you did it, you did it. They were tzaddikim and so forth. But that was an official obligation to perform the mitzvahs in that particular sense. Yosef saw that the mitzvah, and the Gemara says, I mentioned that time, is Megidah the Matzah. There's a schus of a mitzvah that a person has in doing a mitzvah, especially at the time that he performs a mitzvah, is a protection for the person. Protection for the person, portion. And it creates a tremendous schus for the person to help him when he's in need. Each mitzvah at the Seven Pirkei Avos is kind of like praklik echot lemala. He's kind of a malach lemala that like a defense attorney that fights for him and so forth when he needs chusim in this world, etc. So Yosef wanted, he saw what happened in Shem. They used Mila. Mila, they were successful. And the other people were afraid to start up with him and so forth. And they were able to succeed. Avram used the swearing of Mila Eliezer. Of course, that was the mitzvah that was obligated to do, and he made him swear by that. Yosef wanted to make sure he should have control over Mitzrayim via Moshe. See, he resorted to the mitzvah of Mila. They should be subservient in the sense of the mitzvah of Mila that he had, that they should make Mila too. And that, in that particular way, they would be subjugated under his control. And that schus of the mitzvah of Mila that he's promulgating so forth will be a schus for the Jews later on as well in the tribe. And the fact was that when the brothers came, there was just a question over there. The brothers came, so Yosef said, he called them over, and he showed them Rashi brings the Chazal, that he circumcised as a proof that he's Yosef. So they asked the question, if he made all the Mitzvahs circumcised, what's the proof? They're all circumcised. Well, the Egyptians are circumcised. So he said to them, he said, how would they know about circumcision? And I was the one that made it. I was the one that made sure that they should be subservient in a sense through the Mitzvah of Mila. They had to come to me. So forth. So you see that I did the Mitzvah of Mila, for me it's Lashem Shemayim. That was talking about Mitzvah Mila. And Mitzvah Mila, I utilized that particular mitzvah to resort to as a overall, what you call, umbrella of protection for the Klal Yisrael and for all of us, the Jews that were coming from Mitzrayim and so forth, that they shouldn't be able to castigate them or mock them when it comes to circumcision. Jews circumcision, they're circumcised too. They can't complain against the Jew in that particular sense. They wanted to protect the mitzvah and the schus of the mitzvah in that particular sense. That's the point I wanted to bring out that evening. There's another very difficult question over here, which hasn't got too much of a satisfactory answers, but I'm going to go through it anyway with you. Because people ask the question all the time. I'm going to all different types of questions over here. Reuven said to the father, I want to take Binyamin to go to Yosef, send him with me. And I don't want to take too much time, so I'm not going inside reading them from my heart. Send him with me. If not, you'll kill my two sons, Thomas and Shnei Bonai. Men de sender ved, hvad er det, der er ved, how many killed two grandchildren. What shot over there? How do we make such a statement? How do we make such a statement? How do we understand that? So there are many different interpretations over there. I'll just bring you one or two that you should have just to understand that it's a problem. But there are commentaries like the Shabbam and others that they try to bring out the point that they didn't mean it in a sense of actually destruction and so forth. I'm going to find over here very quickly. So he said, take one night. Elamus. So Yehuda took the initiative and said that it'll be sin to the father forever. Forever. How they got accepted. Because Reuben just said, Eshnei Bonai, Thomas. Thomas, that was his particular point that he brought out. Now, Chav Sofer says, Chav Sofer wants to say that you can't take that literally. What Reuven meant was in the concept of the feelings between him and the father. Reuven had sinned to the father, actually, by the Bila changing the room and so forth for his mother, for Leah, etc. And Yaakov, you know, actually, Hakash Kamayim, when he gave the brokers to Vayichi, as we'll see, brought that up. He took away the Bechorah from Reuven and gave the two to Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. Reuven was entitled to two instead of Ephraim and Manasseh, would have been two of the sons of Reuven. Instead of Reuven. And Gemara says in Bambasra, he said, Chav Sofer, that the person that has the chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and the Meraglim, it says that Yeshua and Kohen took the shares that the rest of the Meraglim was supposed to have, Choyu. They took the two, all the shares of the other spies. So Chav Sofer says, it seems that having the original Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael, the Achuza, that's called Chius, and not having the original Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael is like Mace. It's like you're cut off from the promised land, so to speak. You're losing that particular source of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, it's brought down there in Eben Ezra. I don't know, I'm going to look for it now. There's an Eben Ezra in Chayisora. And it also brings the point that a person that has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael is considered like a chelik Goel Mavo. It's a chiyus liyoyim. So it's good that a person has a nachma in Eretz Yisrael. So Chav Sofer says, that's what Reuven meant. Thomas is Shnei Bonai. They will be in a sense of death which means they will not receive the original nakhla of Eretz Yisrael that I would have as a curve for my two children. Because Reuven thought that even though he gave the bechor to Yosef, but still the two of what a bechor is automatically entitled to, monetarily, he will still get those two. Which was a mistake, because really, completely. But Reuven thought that, that was what it would be. So Yaakov answered him, bechor shoiter. Shoiter doesn't only mean not smart. Shoiter means in the sense that it's like plain. Like a person is not developed, not really a chokhom in that sense. He says, you're not a bechor. You lost the whole bechor at all. I can't make such a deal with you because I would not take your two sons anyway. That's what he said, bechor shoiter, as the medrash brings over there. That's what Chasam Sofer learns. That's the meaning of where this particular sense. And there's one more shot I want to tell you from the Orach HaNer. It's also the halachic type shot, but they're very. I like the one from the Orach HaNer. He was the Yaakov Eckling, if you've heard of him. He was the Rebbe of Shem Shlomo Hirsch. Shem Shlomo Hirsch. Learned by the Yaakov Eckling. Well, the famous form of Orach HaNer. He lived from 1790 or so until about 1860 or 1850. It was Orach HaNer, famous ruler from Germany. He said this shot. There's a Gemara, the Gemara says in the Torah, that a person that makes vows and promises and does not keep them is in danger of losing his children. Punishment in those cases is that the born in Mason, Chas V'Shalom, in that case, children are punished. Not punished, after he's punished by taking away his children from them, that they will not live in that sense. So he said he's willing to take upon himself, he says, that he is makabal at himself, the nidui, neder, shvur, and if he doesn't bring them back, it's today bornai tomis. My two children, I'm willing to lose my two children because of that. Double of what? I don't bring back, and he says, why? Because really there was a Binyamin and Shimon. There were two to come back, Binyamin and Shimon. If I don't bring back Binyamin and Shimon, then two of my children will for my punishment, I will have to, sacrificing two of my children because of this particular vow that I'm making to you now. But of course, Yaakov didn't want to accept it. Won't accept that because neder is different than a chayim. Yehuda did not say a promise or a vow. Yehuda said, "V'chatosi li'ovi kol ha'yomim," that he was an idiot of nidui, of chayim, which goes on even after death. And he will bring his soita when they were traveling in the desert. The bones of Yehuda were not resting. Constantly in turmoil. As he spoiled Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was a spoiler for him. They couldn't get into Gan Eden. The whole Gemara there discusses. But we see that was a different. Yaakov took. He said he's taken upon himself a chayim. He's willing to give up his own harbor for me and so forth. But him, I'll take the chance. Reuven was only for Olam Hazeh. Because of the neder, children would die. But Olam Hazeh. He was getting for Chotosi, Obi, Koryom. And even after he did bring them back, Kilalas Sadik, as it says over there, the claw that a person set upon himself comes to fruition, even if you do what you're supposed to do and so forth. And you need a special tzillus from Moshe Rabbeinu in order to knock it out. This is a little bit to understand a little bit that you have to take this over here, not in the sense of the most commentaries, not literally in the figurative sense. What is the message over here that Reuven was wanted to give, and the message that Yehuda wanted to give, and not in the sense of Chas V'Shalom that you actually killed my two sons. That's not what the question meant. I wanted to bring that out in that particular point. The next point that I
going to 25.
Wow. As I said, I mentioned last time, I'm going to speak about Alan Neeson. It's a long piece over here, so I'll have to, I think that piece that I wrote is a original piece that I have, that I'll speak about next time. I just want to end the point of Zeus Hanukkah. That part that I have, the thought that I want to end on Zeus Hanukkah. Why is it called Zeus Hanukkah? The last day, this Friday, it's called Zeus Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah. One simple thing I wanted to say, that the word Zeus is what you call a direct definitive, which means it's not indirect. Zeus, this, it's pointed. Like it says, Zekeli Vaveu, we say in Oz Yoshia. And the letter says over there that they saw the divine presence. They said, Zekeli Vaveu. They saw the divine, which we can't understand, some divine presence they saw. That's called Zeus, direct. You can pinpoint it. So I wanted to say, since the Mechaikis, Meshamei Meshilev, Meshamei Meshilev, Meshamei holds, you start off at 8, you end up with 1. You go down. I have a whole thing on that too. Meshilev says you go from 1 to 8. Mal in the Kodesh. So when it comes the 8th day of Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah stands for Ches Neros V'Halocha Kibbeis Hillel. Ches Neros, Ches Nun Gof Kof Hei. Ches Neros V'Halocha Kibbeis Hillel. When you look at the menorah, what do you see? You see Beis Hillel. The Halocha is 8. And then Zos Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah. This is Ches Neros V'Halocha Kibbeis Hillel. So you see that you have to end with the 8 and the Halocha Kibbeis Hillel. That's one shot I want to say. The other shot I want to say which I think is it's brought down in Sifrei Kabbalah, the Aliyah Kodesh, Hasidim, and so forth, the various Musa, that a person could still salvage a good year for himself by doing tshuva until after Hanukkah. That's what's brought down. Usually we say, as I brought out, if you remember on Sukkot I spoke, Shana Rabbah. That was the official time that was given out. Things. Then they say, even if it was given out, but the person could overturn it with tshuva through Hanukkah. That's what it says. And I said, very, that in mind comes out very good. Why do you say Zos Hanukkah? Because Zos Hanukkah would mean very simple. We say by tshuva, we say by the Sada Taikas, tshuva, Tshuva, Tzedakah. Tshuva, Tzedakah. We're in Zohar Zeila, not off the Gezeila. What is Tshuva? A little word on the top over there says Tzor, Tzadik Vavnev, fasting. We do Tshuva. Tzila is Koyel, the voice of Tshuva, Kof Lamed, Vav Lamed. And the Tzedakah is Mamay. Each one of these words, time is 136. Kael, Kuf, Vav, Lamed is 136. Mamay, Mem, Vav, Nun, 136. 3 times 136 is 408. Word Zos. So the remez over here is Zos Hanukkah. This is your last chance. Zos Hanukkah, for Tshuva, Tzila, Tzedakah, Tzayim, Kohel, and Mamay. This is the Zos Hanukkah, this is it. Because it's going to have the Sforum bring that this will be a last chance you have. You could do Tshuva, and you could still destroy the Zera, and you could be Zayka to Aksiva, Vachsiva, Taiva. That makes sense. And I'm wishing everybody now Aksiva, Vachsiva, Taiva. And we should use the Zos Hanukkah this Friday, and to do Tshuva, Taka, and to hopefully get rid of the Magefa that we have also, the only thing that we're suffering, you know, the Tshuva, Tzila, Tzedakah, Rebbe Yisrael Taylor. Aside from the fact that in the Kriya Satorah of the 8th day, it says Zos Hanukkah Samizbeah. It's part of the reading. That could also be a reason, Zos Hanukkah Samizbeah, Zos Hanukkah, could be. But I like my shot to think of Zos time that we have a chance of tshuva to the tzedakah, to be zeichah to a shiva tzedakah taiva, even Chanukah time. And then we say a friend of Chanukah. And the other piece that I wanted to mention that I said about Aharonisim, Michelle, I'll try to bring that up next time. Any questions that you have? Where?